Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Paul Kern.
All right, welcome to church this morning. Man, was worship not amazing? Was that not the best? Wow. Tell you what, we're so blessed by our team that just leads us each week in worship. I'm so grateful for the gifts and the talents and the abilities of these people up here on the stage. It's just powerful. It's amazing how worship changes the atmosphere in your life. It just changes the atmosphere. It brings such hope and such encouragement, such clarity to where you are. Worship is so powerful. Well, I want to welcome you to church today. Those of you that are joining us for the first time, welcome to Christian Ministries. Those of you join us by podcast each and every week, we're so glad to have you here with us. Our vision this year has been stronger and stronger. And in Job's chapter 17, it talks about the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. And this has been a great year for our church. Man, we've had such great sermons and such great teaching. And I mean, Wednesday night, if you've missed our midweek services, let me tell you, the teaching has just been phenomenal. I mean, Pastor Tim and David and Josh and myself, we've all just been so encouraged by the word that's gone forth. So we're just really grateful to God for the growth that's coming this year. And I want to continue right along this morning with that theme as I continue to talk about growing stronger in strong connections. Strong connections. You know, it's really neat how God does things. God's just a genius. He's brilliant in how He lines out how He works His will and His plan in our life. And so, you know, when we come to God and we are accepted by God the Father and He forgives us of our sins and He gives us a brand new start, and we're all so grateful for that moment in our life. But God also, the Bible says, He adopts us into His family, right? We become children of God when we're born again. But I think so often the blessing of adoption takes on more of an individual viewpoint than it does a corporate viewpoint. Because see, when you become a child of God, not only are you a child of God, but you become a part of a much bigger family. Can I have an amen? We become a part of the family of God. And it's very important that when we look at the New Testament and we read the New Testament, that we come away with an idea that Christianity is about family. It's about the broader connection that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And I think for some people, it's real easy to kind of get caught up in a mentality of, it's kind of like a just me and God religion. You know, we get saved and I'm a Christian, and now me and God, I'm a child of God and I'm following God. But you have to understand that God's got a bigger plan. You know, I've heard people say to me, you know, Paul, I'm a Christian and I love God, and I don't really have to go to church to have a relationship with God. You know, I'm connected with God and I have that connection with Him. You know, why do I need to do that when God is all that I need? And it is true that God is all that you need, because from God comes all of His resources. It's just God designed a system of what we call family. You know, and family is so important. And I'm just seeing the huge importance of family in the world today. You know, the family's under attack. I mean, more now than any other time, and there are so many things that are attacking the home and the family. There's so much distraction in family today, and there's so many things that are going on. You know, even the media is trying to redefine family. You know, we've got all the major networks, you know, calling it the new family and trying to redefine family. But in the very beginning, God created Adam, and He said, it's not good. It's not good that man be alone. And so He brought Eve, and they came together, and God told them, be fruitful and multiply and take dominion and fill the earth. So God's idea is the idea of family. So the Bible never separates the two. The Bible never separates our individual walk with God and our broader corporate walk with God that we have through the family of God. No, God designed friendship, and God put friendship in place because friendship plays a vital role. But you know what? Friendship brings tension. I mean, you know, we all have those friends that we love to hate. I work with some here at the ministry, actually. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, at one level we want friendship, and at another level we don't want friendship. It's like, man, I love you, but sometimes I just want to, Have y'all ever been there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, in creation we were made to live in a community, but because of the fall, we run from the very friendships that God created us to have. And our longing for friendship is tainted by sin. Sin has come in and it's corrupted our understanding of family. It's corrupted our understanding of friendship. And I think lots of times we pursue friendships as long as they satisfy our needs. And so what happens is friendship becomes this thing that has become a very self-centered thing. You know, I'll have a friendship with you as long as the friendship is meeting my needs. But we've got to understand that our fellowship is an essential ingredient in the redemptive work of God in our life. And this one is really what I want to focus on today, that friendship is essential in the redemptive work of God in our lives. In other words, change is something God wants us to experience together. I mean, God didn't just have this corporate day of worship just so that we could come and we could worship Him, although that is the primary reason that we come to church, right? We come to church to worship God. But you know, church, I honestly want you to know, I don't come to church to be ministered to. I don't come to church to be preached at. I minister to myself. I read books. I listen to podcasts. I read my Bible. I feed myself. There's two reasons that I come to church. The first reason I come to church is I come to church to worship God because He's worthy of my praise. And I give Him glory and I honor Him for all the things that He's done in my life. But the second reason that I come to church is to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I just really see Sunday morning as an opportunity for divine appointments. And I think it's very important that I make those connections with people as they come through the door. And that's why I try to go around and greet people. And I always get frustrated because I can't greet every single person that comes to church. But honestly, I would like to be able to greet and say good morning, to make connections with every single person. But you know, in reality, that's just not possible on Sunday morning. That's just not something that is possible for us to be able to do. You know, I love our new billboards. I don't know if our creative team has done such a great job, and you guys maybe on Highway 7, you've seen our new billboards that have gone up. They're really awesome. And one of the things on our billboards, it says, "Better Together." Better together. And we are. We are so much better together. You know, have you ever wondered why community is so important? You know, just think about community. Just think about our community and our friendships and our church and the connections that each one of us make. You know, because the benefits of a good friendship, I mean, is just something you can't underrate. I mean, a good friendship is so powerful and so important in our lives. But the most important reason that we have community is because God is community. You know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they live together in community. There's perfect peace. There's perfect harmony. There's a perfect union between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all have this deep longing for intimacy because God has designed us according to the pattern of the Trinity. See, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have this incredible love relationship, and it's just beautiful. It's just amazing, powerful thing. And the whole reason that God created you and I is that we could share and we could experience that love and that community that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have together. So we all have this deep longing inside of us for relationship. It's woven into the fabric of human nature, and humans long to connect because that's what we were made to do. But the problem is our approach to relationships has been tainted by sin, and so now we have become the focus instead of other people being the focus. But God wants to use friendships. And the reason that God wants to use friendships is because friendships are what God uses to conform us into the image of His Son. As a matter of fact, I recently had an experience that helped me be more conformed into the image of His Son, and I want to share it with you this morning. This summer, a lot of our leadership team, we went on a trip to Oklahoma to a pastor's conference, a ministry's conference, and a lot of our team went, some of our creative team and others of our leadership team, and you know, we just go down to really get refreshed and renewed and fresh vision, and it was an awesome trip. We took the church van, and our worship pastor, Brandon Tryon, he took his vehicle, and so we were able to get everybody that was going in the trip in the church van and in their vehicle. And so we all took off on a trip, had a great time. And we went to the last session, and we all really needed to get back because, you know, we're all busy and we've got to get back for the service on Sunday, the following Sunday. And so when it ended, we left that evening about, I think it was around 9:30 or 10 o'clock. It was late. So we sat out on the road and we'd been traveling, and so Brandon and his wife and some of the team was in his car behind us in the van, and me and our kids pastor, Jason Ross, we were having conversation. Jason was driving, and I was sitting over in the passenger seat, and man, I mean, it's just awesome. The anointing is moving, and we're just cultivating relationship and talking about the things of God, and a lot of people in the back were asleep, and it was 2 in the morning. You know, so we're tired, and we're just talking, and I just happened to gaze out the right side mirror, and I saw some smoke, and I was like, man, it's foggy outside tonight. You know, I thought maybe it's just fog, right? And I didn't really pay any attention to it because Jason and I, we were just, God was moving, and it was just this great conversation, And I glanced over again, and I was like, whoa. I mean, smoke was just bellowing out of the back. It looked like a smoke bomb went off in the van, you know, and smoke's just going everywhere. And I'm like, Jason, we got to pull over. We got real problems. We got to pull over now. And Jason's like, what's going on? I said, look. And he was like, oh, my gosh. So we get the van pulled over, and I mean, there is smoke everywhere. I get out, and I walk around the back of the van, and Jason and I, we kind of meet in the back, and I'm talking, church, there is motor oil. It is all over the back of the van. It's all over the back windshield. It's all over our trailer that we're pulling. There's motor oil everywhere. And I touched it. I was like, what is that? And I went, that's motor oil. Well, immediately, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, we're doomed. We're doomed. And so we're out 2:30 in the morning on the side of the highway, broke down. And I climb up underneath the van, and I'm looking, and I see oil everywhere. I said, Jason, all right. So I pop the hood. We check the oil. We still got oil on the stick. So I put it back in. I said, all right, man, crank this thing up, and I'm going to get under there with my light, with my phone, and I'm going to look. Well, as soon as he cranked it, oil just starts pouring out. I'm like, kill it, kill it, because I don't want to burn the engine up, right? And so I tell everybody, man, we're not going anywhere. So we get on the phone and start trying to find a wrecker. So that's not easy to do at 2:30 in the morning. So we're calling, we're making phone calls, and I'm thinking ahead. So I've got Brandon calling trying to find hotels that we can stay at, you know, because we didn't really know exactly where we were. And come to find out, we were about 30 minutes outside of Fort Smith.
Arkansas. So we're, you know, trying to find somebody, and we get on the phone, and we finally reach this towing company. And, you know, the typical tow company persona guy, right, Bubba? Well, I'm telling you, when this guy pulled up and got out of that tow truck, it was Bubba. I mean, really, Bubba. And so he gets out, and, you know, and he starts getting the van all pulled. You got to pull up one of those big trailers, you know. And so, you know, there's not enough, we can't ride in the van, and there's not enough room in his car, so we get to ride with Bubba. So it's me and Jason and Courtney, who was up here singing so beautifully this morning. We're all squinched up in the front seat with Bubba, the tow truck driver, and we're on our way. Well, Bubba starts talking, and I wish he hadn't. I wish he just had been quiet, because he starts talking about his fifth marriage and his kids are in prison and all this stuff, and I'm just like, we're in the twilight zone. We're in the twilight zone. And Jason's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and Courtney's looking at me, and Courtney's kind of scooting over, getting closer to us, and this guy, yeah, I used to sell drugs and blah, blah, and I was just like, well, maybe the Lord put us in this position to tell this man about Jesus, you know? So we're going to take advantage. So we, you know, we start sharing Jesus with this guy, and it's all great. So he gets us to Fort Smith, and, you know, we've tried to call hotels, and Brandon breaks the news to me. He's like, man, I got bad news. He said, this weekend is the annual Jehovah's Witness Conference. And it's in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and there's not a hotel anywhere that has any room available. And so, I, you know, here I am. What are we going to do? So we got all of our team packed up, literally, in Brandon and Claire's car, and Jason and I decided that we would be the sacrificial lambs for the trip. And so, you know, started making phone calls, and sure enough, there are no nice hotels, okay? So have y'all ever heard of the term roach motel? Well, me and Jason, we finally found a hotel, a roach motel. And I've got some pictures here. If you're listening by podcast, just be glad that you're not seeing these, because it's pretty traumatic. But I just want to bring these pictures up on the screen and let you see some pictures here. So literally, when I say roach motel, I mean roach motel. So we get into our room, and, you know, these are the covers on our bed. And there, I had many of these cigarette burns in the covers on the sheets of my bed. So right up here, this is the floor. I don't really know what that is. I know I took my shoes off, and I was getting ready to get in bed, and I stepped in something that squished, and I was like, ah, ah, and I was looking, and I was like, what is this? And it was an old grape that I stepped in, and it was like all rotted and mushy, and it was really nasty. And so I was like, and so I looked up at the ceiling. I don't know what caused that or what that is, but they were all over the place in our ceiling. And it was just, by then, it was like 3:30 in the morning. We were so exhausted. We're so tired. And I'm thinking, I'm talking crack of dawn, I'm out of here, buddy. As soon as I can find a car and get it rented, we're out of here. And so, you know, I'm like, well, man, I'm gonna take a shower, and I'm getting in bed, and I'm just going to lay there like this. So I walk into the bathroom to get into the shower, and here's the tub. And I thought, yeah, y'all thought I was kidding. I'm not kidding. It's a roach motel. It's terrible. And I'm thinking, what'd they do? Slop some hogs in here? What is going on? And so I'm like, yeah, well, that's out. And so I come back out, got Jason here. He's laying in his bed. And then we've got one more picture of he and I together. I just thought, I got to take a selfie for memory, just because it was such a traumatic experience in our lives. And so the next morning, I mean, we lay there just like this, trust me. I mean, I don't know if I actually slept, because I kept hearing stuff crawling around, and I don't know if it was a rat or a roach or what it was. And but, you know, I was so glad I was not by myself. I was mad at Jason because I said, you're cursed. Every time I get with you, something bad happens to me. And I have lots of stories. I mean, I don't have time, but I have lots of stories that I could share with our church about the things that that man right over there has put me through. But relationships, they're just so important. I mean, roach motels are funner when they're shared with friends. They just are. I'm just telling you. The Apostle Paul said that God has destroyed the barrier to create in himself one new man. Now listen to this. We are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We are being built together to become a dwelling place that God lives. In church, we can't become the Christians that God has called us to be, that God has meant us to be, just doing it alone with God. It's not God's intent, it's not God's plan, it's not God's design. And I guess the question that I have for all of us here this morning at CMC is how does this idea of community, this broader spiritual family, how does it impact you? I mean, does it surprise you that God would want all of us to be involved in this broader family, this, and have these strong connections? Does it surprise you? Does it intimidate you? Does it annoy you? Does it encourage you? You know, I want to challenge our body today. How much does your life currently allow for you to develop relationships that go deep enough to challenge and grow you? And I just want you to meditate on that for a minute, because I think it's so easy to miss out on the design that God has set into place for us to be blessed. If relationships and community is God's design, what hinders that process? What gets in the way? And so I was just thinking about this and just kind of contemplating, what gets in the way? What hinders the process? And so I just wrote a few things down as I was thinking that I think probably that we could all relate to here this morning. One thing that I put was the business of life. It keeps relationships distant and casual. We're just all so busy. We're busy working. We're busy with hobbies. We're busy taking our kids to the ball fields. We're busy doing church. We're busy paying bills. I think another thing that gets in the way is friendships that are activity and happiness based instead of friendships that are relationship based. You know, I think some people consciously avoid close relationships because they're scary. They're messy. You know, there's probably some people in here today, probably a lot of people in here today, that could say, you know, I really got hurt by a friend. I had a friend that I went into business with. I had a friend that we were really close with. They stabbed me in the back. They really hurt me. They betrayed my friendship. And Paul, just to be honest, I've thrown up walls. You know, I'll be casual with people. I'll walk through the doors of the church. I'll smile. I'll say good morning. How are you? I'll give you a fist bump. I'll give you a handshake. I'll give you a high five, but not going there anymore. You know, I think for some people, they have that private, independent, just me and God approach to Christianity. You know, I think it's also easy, you know, for many of us just in our church commitments and our church activities and church serving. I mean, we're here, we're serving, we're involved in kids' church, we're involved in student ministry, we're involved in helping in the nursery. We greet people as they come through the door. You know, we're on our greet teams, and those are great things. And I encourage you, if you're not involved in some fashion like that, it's so important that you are. But I think it's so easy to get so involved with church activities that we miss real connections with people. You know, even for our staff and our people who are on staff here and people in positions of leadership in our church, I think it's easy to get ourselves into one-way, ministry-driven friendships in which we are always ministering to other people, but we're not allowing other people to minister to us. And that's just a word for our team. You know, I think it's easy for insecurity and jealousy to keep you from connecting with people because there's competition. You know, well, I'm competing with this other couple, and you know, or I'm competing because he's got this business and I got to have a better one than him, or my kids, you know, in athletics, or you know, they've got this many kids, so we got to one up them and have one more kid. You know, all the things that we all deal with, and I think, you know, probably in some form or fashion, one of these that I was talking about this morning applies, and the point is this: God's work of change has relationship at its core. It has relationship at its core. Friendships are necessary. They're a necessary means for us to reach the goal of being conformed into the image of Jesus. Relationships of love are means of personal growth. They're a mark of God's people being purified, and they're a clear sign to the world that God is real. They're a clear sign to the world that God is real. You can't take the change process out of the context in which God intended it. And the change process happens through relationship. But relationships take work. They take effort. They take time out of your schedule. They require you to invest. They require you to have to clean your house, to have people come over. They require you to stop your busy schedule and make a phone call and schedule a time to go eat lunch or get with another couple and go do something or have game night or make a phone call or text or write a card. I mean, these all take effort. But church, we grow together. We are better together. We're not better apart. We're better together. And I just want to give our church a real vision this year. As we're growing stronger and stronger, and that's been our goal, I want our relationships to grow stronger in our church. I want our relationships to go stronger with people that we work with and people that we encounter from day to day. You know, we all call out to God for help. All of us this morning, you know, our associate pastor, David Pate, led us in a prayer. And David, I so appreciate you doing that. I think it's so important. You know, we were talking about the importance of God's church praying and people praying. And I just don't think that that can be underestimated. But we all pray for God to intervene in our lives. We all need God to meet needs in our life. Everybody in this building that came here today came here with some sort of needs. You've got financial needs and family needs and health needs, and we all have different needs that we come in for. And while we're all gazing into the stars, asking God to meet our needs and asking God to provide for us, what if we discovered that God had already placed the answer in the earth? The answer is not out there. The answer is here. The source of our longings, the source of our needs, of supernatural intervention, of provision, of wisdom, of discernment, of guidance, of miracles. What if God, 2,000 years ago, planted a seed in the heart of the earth, and it was his son, Jesus? And when Jesus resurrected from the dead, when he came forth out of that ground, the Bible says that many sons and daughters were birthed forth. And what if God took those sons and those daughters and he poured forth his spirit into those sons and daughters, and he gave those sons and daughters gifts that could be utilized to meet the needs of the body of Christ? And then, see, if we this morning, if we could just all get an understanding and get a hold of our identity in Jesus Christ, and that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, and that God has placed His Spirit inside of each one of us, and that that Spirit in us is designed to meet the needs that God wants to meet through us. Through us. That's what God is wanting to do. See, we could become the answer for prayer that people pray. We could become the miracle that people need, the provision that people are asking God for, the healing that people are longing to have happen. We could be those people. I was sitting in my chair, you know, every morning I get up. My routine is I let my dogs out to go to the bathroom, fix my cup of coffee, go to my chair, get my iPad, get my Bible out, drink my coffee, spend some time reading, praying, and then I do a little social media stuff, and then I head out the door. And I was sitting in my chair a couple weeks ago, and I was just reading over the Word and reading some scriptures. I've been kind of meditating on this whole concept and this whole thought, and I just prayed this prayer. I just said, God, I want to be a divine appointment for someone. I want to be a divine appointment. I don't want a divine appointment. I want to be a divine appointment. And I just said, God, I pray that You begin to move on Your people, that instead of looking for a divine appointment, that we could realize that we are that divine appointment for so many people. And God, I just ask that You just open opportunities for me to be able to be a divine appointment for other people. In church, it's crazy. I mean, it wasn't an hour after I prayed that prayer, God just lit my day up. I'm telling you, it was person after person after person, and I was like, okay, God, you can whittle them back just a little bit. I get you. I got it. Can we spread them out over the whole week instead of letting me have them all in one day? But that's what God wants. And it was amazing. Divine appointments just started opening up. But God has blessed us financially that we might be a blessing. God has given us health that we might pray over those who are sick. God has given us a mind with wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we can pass down that wisdom and knowledge and understanding through discipleship and mentoring and friendships and connections through businesses and through friendships and through families. This is God's design. See, when you stop looking for God to move outside of you and realize that God doesn't move even in spite of you, but God wants to move through you, then everything in your life begins to change. Because, church, I want you to know today that God has put you here on this big blue planet for a profound reason. And people that I meet that struggle, I mean, it gets my heart now, I'm telling you. It gets my heart. And we all got people that just we're praying for, and we hate that they're going through what they're going through, but we've got to let that translate from just, well, I hate it for them, to, God, what can You do to use me to make a difference? You know, this week I was, I don't really remember what day it was. It was the earlier part of the week. I mean, the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm just, you know, I try to live in connection with the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all like to do that? I think that's a good thing, you know. I just try to always live just communing with the Holy Spirit all the time. I just talk to Him all throughout the day. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me, connect me, you know, use me. And so I was just, you know, kind of going throughout my day, and the Holy Spirit just said, what about so-and-so? And this guy, you know, he just, we're friends, but honestly, I had been busy. And y'all, you know, it just happens to you where you just kind of go, wow, I don't think I've seen them in like 2 months. And I hate that when that happens to me. And I want our church to know, I apologize, you know, honestly, if you haven't been here and I didn't know that you weren't here, or some of the leadership didn't know that you weren't here, it's not because we don't love you. And it's not because we don't care. It's just we're just like you. You know, life gets busy. And so, you know, it happened, and I was like, man, I have got to reach out to this brother. And so called him, and we were able to have lunch this week, and, you know, he was like, man, had it been a day or two or a week earlier, it never would have happened. We never would have been able to connect. He said it was just God's divine plan that you called me when you called me. And we had lunch together, and we prayed together, and we encouraged one another. And, man, I walked away feeling really good that I got to connect with my brother again. And I think he walked away feeling really good that he got to connect with me again. And I thought, that's what it's all about. That's Christianity. That's God's plan. That's what God intended to happen. Today I want to remind you, as I close, of your identity in Jesus Christ. You are one of God's set apart ones. And I want to encourage you to allow the cross to shape your relationships with one another. Allow the cross to shape your relationships with one another. Because we have a connection vertically with God that is so vital and so important. But this connection with God vertically is so vital because it influences our connection horizontally with one another. And so that's why we all got to stay where we're supposed to be with the Lord and connected with the Father, so that we can have this influence with one another each and every day. God has poured out His grace in your life. It only makes sense that you share that grace with other people. It only makes sense. Today, be intentional. Make every effort to make connections this week with people. Send a text, make a phone call, write a card, do lunch, go out on a date, have friends over. Take time to invest, because here's the thing, church. You're not taking anything with you when you leave this world. Not one. You brought nothing into this world, and you're not taking one single thing with you when you go. Not new cars, not new homes, not gadgets, not stuff, not jobs, not positions, not titles that we all tend to so chase after. The only lasting legacy that you will have is the influence that you have in the lives of other people. And the way that your life will live on is through the influence that you have had on other people. Amen? Amen. Y'all stand with me this morning. Let's give God a big round of applause. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, help us. Help us with our connections with one another, Lord. Help us to be intentional. God, help us to be people that love other people. Go before us this week. Use us to be that divine appointment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.